Amen. Thank you, Natalie. Natalie and her new husband, Austin, are new members of our church. We're going to baptize them in 2 weeks from today. And I want to thank you for sharing the gift God has given to you this morning. I'm going to preach this morning from Job 1 and 2. I'm not going to read all of it because it's lengthy. I'll tell you more about the story of Job in just a moment. Last week was homecoming. And part of my family was able to join us, daughter Kara Lee and her husband David and little baby Nora. And then the next one's coming in April, so we're excited about that. But after the service, of course, we went down to eat, and everybody was having a good time. Kara Lee fixed Nora's plate, and she also got some dessert while she was going through the line, because you know how it is, you better grab it while you can, right? So she did, came back to the table, and somebody last week made little cake pops. I don't know who it was, but little squares of cake and had, you know, a stick stuck in it. And anyway, when Nora spotted that, forget the meat, forget the beans, forget everything else. I want cake! I want cake! And then just a few minutes later, she was done and wanted out. So I took her, went to the gym, and she had to walk, wouldn't let me carry. Got into the gym, and I mean, she just burst out into just squealing and laughing and running round and round and round me, just circles like you wouldn't believe, saying, "Big room, big room, big room." So I was enjoying that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like that always? Wouldn't it be great, you know, just to enjoy, just have the joy and the laughter and the thrill and all of those kind of things. But you know what? That's not the way life is all the time, is it? It really isn't. We're going to look this morning about confronting some tough times, confronting tragedy especially. And some of the things that's happened pretty recently, hurricanes, earthquakes, last Sunday the shooting in Las Vegas and all. Why is that happening, huh? Well, I shared with our group on Wednesday night Bible study this past week. We're in Romans. We were in the book of Romans. It said, by one man sin entered into the world. By Adam, he represented us all. Well, it'd be nice just to say, well, Adam needs to pay for that, not the rest of us. But have you ever been on a team, maybe, or a class or a group, and somebody really fouls up and the whole group, the whole team is punished? That's what's happened here. Adam fouled up, and now all of humanity suffers for it. Sin entered into the world, and this is why this is happening. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24 that these things are going to happen, and they're going to get worse, and they're going to get worse, and there's going to be more, and there's going to be more. Until one thing happens. You know what it is, don't you? He's coming again. He's coming again. So if there's anything good that comes out of this, perhaps that's it, that promise that we have. But we're here. There are many who've been absolutely affected by the hurricanes and earthquake and shootings. You and I, we just can't get over it, can we? This is insane, all that's occurring here. How do we connect with God with all of this? What's happening here? How do you and I confront tragedy in our lives? It drives me to the book of Job. And here was a man who was the wealthiest, godliest man of all the Middle East back in his day. God had granted him great riches. He had herds. He had money. He had servants. He had it all. He had 10 children, 7 boys and 3 daughters. And then in one day, it was all taken. A lot of it by terrorists. All of his herds and servants and all. A natural disaster took away his family, and he was left with nothing. And we want to look at him this morning, how he confronted that. Listen to how the end of chapter 1 reads. Job arose after losing all of this. And he tore his robe, and he shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and whispered, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. And then not only that, But following in chapter 2, we read of a disease that overtook him. He was just covered with sores and boils, and it was just a terrible kind of thing that he had, so much so that he must have been a sight to see, that his wife said, "You know what, Job, with all that's happened, man, death would be better than this. Do you still hold on to your integrity? Job, you need to curse God and then die." But Job said this, "You speak as one of the foolish women. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil as well?" In all of this, Job did not sin. He was a man of integrity, wasn't he? Once again, our society has been shaken with all the events that's taken place in the last several weeks. Nature gone crazy. People have gone crazy. Has this nation gone insane? Is God speaking to our nation? Well, yeah, I think so, don't you? I think maybe God's looking down and saying, just like he did the Israelites in the Old Testament, "What are you doing? Why are you turning from me? Why are you worshiping other gods? I'm God." In Psalm 11, verse 3, David was running from Saul's army. He was running for his life. He was a fugitive. The Philistines were terrorizing northern Israel, all the way down to southern Israel. He was looking at his culture. He was looking at his society, his nation, and he asked this, "If the foundations are destroyed, if what we have stood on all of these years, if they're destroyed, what is the righteous going to do?" For you and I, we would read that, "What are the saved to do?" And when the foundations are being destroyed, and when everything is up in the air, when everything is upside down, and when everything seems to be in crisis and chaos, and there's insanity that's going on in our ranks here, what do the righteous do? What do the saved do? What do those who trust in Jesus Christ do? I believe if we were to be able to ask God this morning, "God, what would you have us to do? What can we do?" I believe he would answer with two words. Two words, we sang about them this morning. God would say, "Worship me. Worship me. Focus on me." The Bible basically tells us this several times. Go to the Lord for help and worship him. The Bible says this about worship, that it will open doors to all of his goodness. And in our darkest hour that we need most to focus on anything, it would be God. It's in the crisis, in the chaos, in the confusion, in the sadness, when we feel crushed, when we feel out of control. It's in those moments that we need most to worship and draw near to God, to center on God. When your heart is broken, we need to center on Almighty God. Now, we're going to go through many tragedies of life. I hate to tell you, but this is guaranteed. Life is guaranteed that. The minute that Adam partook of the fruit, and we all had to begin running the laps, everybody was punished, okay? We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to have things go wrong in our lives. I highly recommend that you write some of these things down today that I'm going to tell you, okay? When our heart is breaking, the Bible says, you need to worship God a little more. It's the best thing we can do. Once again, Job was the wealthiest man in the world. He was the Bill Gates of his age, okay? And on one day, he lost everything to terrorists. He lost everything to a natural catastrophe. Everything Job had was taken away from him in one single day. And the first thing Job did, the Bible reads, is he fell on the ground, face down, and he worshiped God. And so the question now comes to my heart, and maybe your heart and mind as well, is that how could he do that? With all that he lost and all the loss in his life, how do you worship God in that kind of thing? How do you worship God in a tragedy? How do we as a nation, how do you as a Christians in this nation, how do we worship God with all that's going on? How do we keep our eyes on Jesus when they're full of tears? How do you connect with God? I believe there's four things that we need to do, and I want to share them with you pretty quickly. First of all, we just need to be honest and tell God. We need to tell God how we feel. Let me ask you, Is God big enough for your anger and everything else? Is He? He's big enough, isn't He? Lamentations 2:19 says, "Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord." I take that to mean I can tell God what I'm thinking. I can tell God what I'm feeling. A poll was taken of the top four emotions people are feeling. And here they are. Number one is anger. Number two is grief. Number three is shock or disbelief. And number four is anxiety or fear. These are all legitimate emotions. We all feel them, do we not? Look at them real quickly. First of all, anger. If you're not angry, especially over these shootings last Sunday, there's something wrong with you. We need to be angry about that. Sometimes anger is the only rational, loving response. Even God gets angry when He sees innocent people get hurt. Love demands that we get angry. Secondly is grief. We've seen all of the pictures this week of Puerto Rico, Florida, Texas, Mexico, Las Vegas. We can't help but have our hearts to break for these people. I look at all those who were wounded and then the families, the lost people who died in the shootings. I look at an entire nation of Puerto Rico wiped out. There's shock and disbelief, thirdly. You know, we ask, how can this happen? How can it happen in America? How could this happen? And then there's anxiety and fear because if this happened, all this is happening now, what in the world is the future going to be like? What's going to happen? What's going to happen in the days ahead? And I guarantee you none of us knows the answer to that. So the first thing we do when we're in a tragedy is we unload our emotions to God. We tell God exactly how we feel. That's what Job did in Job 7, verse 11. "Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I'm not going to keep silent. I'm not going to shut up. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." Let me tell you, God is big enough for your anger. God is big enough for your sadness. God is big enough for your emotions, for your questions. Honesty is the best policy. In fact, at the end of the book of Job, in Job 42, God actually commends Job for spilling his guts here, for being honest. He says, "You, Job, you have spoken honestly. I appreciate that." All of the godly people in the Bible did this. Jeremiah, Naomi, David at one time said, "God, I've taken the worst you can hand out. And I'm fed up." And God handled that. In fact, the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. Now, although if you read through the book of Job, you'll find Job questioning God. "God, why did you allow all this? Why did this happen? He never stopped trusting God. David was the same way. He said at one point, "I believe, so I said, I am completely ruined." Now, that looks like a contradiction, doesn't it? I believe, I have faith, but I've been wiped out. I believe, but I'm ruined. "God, I trust you, but my life sure stinks right now." How's that a contradiction out of a righteous man's mouth? I believe, in one sense, it's actually a statement of faith. The Bible teaches that complaining to God in honesty is actually an act of faith, an act of worship, because first of all, I believe there's a God I can complain to. Secondly, I believe He hears my prayers. Psalm 34, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard my voice." You know what? He'll hear your voice. Thirdly, I believe He'll let me say what I need to say, and He'll still love me. That's an act of faith. Complaining to God is an act of worship. Complaining to God is an act of worship, but complaining to other people about God, there's a word for that. It's three letters. Sin. Sin. So we just tell God. Secondly, we praise God. Now, you may find this to be a little difficult, but we praise God in spite of our circumstances. Once again, I promise you, we're going to go through tragedy in life at some point, okay? We're going to lose a loved one. We're going to find the foundations come out from under us. Something's going to go wrong in our lives. But we praise God in spite of it. We don't wait for an explanation, because there's some things. My brother who was killed at 31, there's no explanation. I probably never will receive one. There's things you want. But we praise God in spite of the circumstances. Why do I say that? Because that's what Job did. When he lost everything in one day, Job 1:21-22, let me read it to you again. I came naked from my mother's womb, and naked I'll return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job didn't sin or charge God with wrong. Man. The book of Job really is all about one question in life. And that question is, will a person continue to worship God if he loses everything? Will a person continue to follow and love God if everything goes wrong in his life? Let me make that personal. Will you? Would you? That's the ultimate test of faith right there, don't you think? I want to tell you, at some point in our life, we're going to go through that test. We're going to go through a time when it looks like everything in our life is going wrong. And God's going to watch and see, are you still going to trust me? You still going to have faith? Will you still trust Him when the bottom falls out, when the rug's pulled out from underneath you? Will you trust Him when life just doesn't make sense? Why can't we praise God in worship when our heart is broken? Why can't we praise God in spite of the circumstances? Because the circumstances, the circumstances in life do not change the truth about God. Job praised God for four different things. Let me list them to you real quickly. First, he said, even when things go wrong, I can praise God. Why? Number one, because he's a good and a loving God. Job 10 says this, you've given me life and constant love, and your care has kept me alive. We will always have the love of God, even in the toughest of circumstances. Let me give you a New Testament version of it, okay? Romans 8:36-39. Paul said, I am persuaded. That means I am sure. I am absolutely sure and confident of this. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that? Nothing will separate us from His love. That verse says whether we're high in the sky or whether we're in the deepest ocean, nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I can thank God for one thing. I can think that no matter what comes my way, He's still going to love me. He's still going to love me. Secondly, I not only can praise God that He's a loving and good God, I can praise God that He knows every detail of my life. Job says He knows what's happening to me. He sees everything I do. God watches my every step. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Jesus told us that. He's intimately aware of all the details of our lives. Every single life that was lost last Sunday, every single life that was lost or hurt in all the natural catastrophes, every person in those hurricanes and earthquakes and shootings, God was intimately aware of all the details of their lives, and He cares about them. Thirdly, we can learn that we can thank God that He has a plan for our lives. Job said this very, very simply. He will fulfill, despite what I've gone through, despite my loss, despite my grief, despite all of this, God will fulfill what He's planned for me. Nothing's changed in that respect. And then lastly, we can thank God that He promises to protect us. Now, here's the question you may be asking right now. Well, if He promised to protect us, why did this happen? All right, let me qualify it. God's promised He's going to protect the sorrowful. I was proud of our president this past week. He didn't tweet this, okay? But he said this. He alluded to it. He didn't give the scripture. But in Psalm 34:18, President Trump was talking about the victims of the hurricane and all, okay? And here's the truth. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And He saves the crushed in spirit. When your heart is broke, God's promised, I'll be near you. I'll be right there. Thirdly, when life caves in, we need to ask God for strength and help. When your heart is broken, when you're confused, when you're angry because of a tragedy, don't turn away from God. Turn to God. Ask Him for strength because He's got the strength that you're going to need, okay? Psalm 105:4 says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Psalm 37, verse 39 says, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. That's a good one to mark down. When it comes into your life, to say, God, You said in Psalm 37, 39, that You would be my stronghold in time of trouble. God is waiting to strengthen you. He's waiting to strengthen our nation if we'll just turn to Him as we go through these times of trouble. He's waiting to strengthen us. Where do I get it? Where do I get the power to handle the crisis in my life? My problems, the nation's problems, the tragedy we're facing as a nation, the tragedy that's occurred in my life. Where do I get that strength? There's only one place, and it's where we began just a moment ago. Only one place you're going to find it. And that's in worshiping Him. When you focus on God, because that's what worship is, we put our focus on God at that moment. When we focus on God, it's like plugging into the power source. Psalm 63:1, oh God, You are my God. You're mine. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My soul faints for You, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. God, I'm just focusing on You. I absolutely need You right now. I need You in my life. How many of you need God this morning? Let me pray with you for just a moment, all right? God, you heard what the psalmist said. You heard what You're speaking through me. God, we need You. And I pray right now in the midst of this sermon, God, You promised You draw near to us. And there's some in here that's having a tragedy in their life, a crisis. Draw near to them, God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Lastly, keep focused. We keep focused on God and His promises. That means we don't just come to church today, sing a few songs, go home, and forget all about it. That's not going to do you any good. You need to focus on God continually. You need to stay connected to Him. You need to stay in touch with Him. You need to talk to Him constantly. You need to read His Word. Of all the promises, there's over 7,000 promises in this one book to you and I. How can you claim any promise if you don't know it? You've got to stay connected. You've got to stay focused. You've got to stay focused on God and His promises. That will give you hope. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, Paul says, we don't lose heart. He had just listed everything he'd gone through as a missionary, as an apostle. And he said, I don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, you know. Our inner self, our spirit, our soul, it's being renewed day by day, every day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory that's beyond all comparison. as we look not to the things that are seen, but we look, we hope for the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary. They're here and they're gone. But the things that are unseen, heaven, it's eternal. Paul said, don't get discouraged because all troubles are temporary. Don't get discouraged because we know that God is going to use them for a greater eternal purpose. Don't get discouraged. Keep your eyes on God. Yeah, our lives from time to time are shaken to its foundation. Our nation has been shaken to its foundations. But the sovereignty of Almighty God cannot be shaken. It's unshakable. Jesus said this in John 16:33. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have the rug pulled out from underneath you. But take heart, I've overcome the world. It's not over. It may get worse. We don't know, but if you belong to Jesus Christ, listen, we don't have to panic. We don't have to panic because we have a sure foundation. The psalmist said, he took me out of a miry pit and he set me on a rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as a Christian, I can honestly say this. I possess something that can never, ever be taken away from me. And that is my personal relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I know Him, and my eternal destiny has been secured. Jesus said, don't fear the people that could take your body. Fear those who can kill the soul. That cannot be taken away from me. I could lose everything else that I have in life. And I could lose my wife and my children and my freedom. I could lose all my possessions. I could lose my health. I could lose my eyesight. I could lose my freedom. I could literally, like Job, lose everything. But there's one thing that can never be taken away from me, and that is my relationship to Jesus Christ because of my faith in Him. And because of that, my eternal security in heaven. That's the biggest reason I'm secure. And I'm stable. And I'm confident no matter what happens in the world. Thousands of years ago, David announced and he asked, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can good people do? What can the righteous do? What can the saved do? And God answers, come to me for help. And worship me. Worship will answer all, open all the doors to God's presence and His goodness. In Hebrews we read, let us not neglect our worshiping together. Let's not forget coming to church, as some habitually do. But let's encourage each other. All the more as we see what? The day of His return. As it draws near. Friends, this is why every one of us, we need a church family. We need each other. This is why you and I, we need to gather as a group of believers every Sunday who can live life together as we follow Jesus together. For without a church family, we have nothing. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You today that, Lord, even when the worst comes in our lives, when tragedy, when hurt, when disappointment, when confusion, when life just doesn't make sense and we're angry and we grieve, Lord, You understand. You hear. You know us. You love us despite. We can call upon You, God, and You answer and You draw near to us. I want to thank You for those promises. Lord God, our nation, the United States of America. We've never been a perfect nation, but we've been a good nation. We believed in the right things. We've held to those things. And that's not so true anymore. God, I pray in Jesus' name that You'd forgive us. I pray, Father, for a new wind to begin sweeping across America. And it's going to begin in Your people. It's going to begin in us, the church, the bride of Jesus. Lord, nobody knows Jesus outside of us. They don't have the hope that we have. So I pray, Lord, for a turning in our nation through us. But God, be more personal, as I prayed a moment ago. Lord, there's some who have gone through tragedy. Others of us, Lord, we will go through tragedy. Some have gone through it in recent days. God, I pray that, Lord, you'll draw near to them as you promised. And now, God, bless this time. Thank you for the hard work you've done. May you find us responding and obedient to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned church family a moment ago. Every one of us in here, we need a church family. You won't find what God offers to us through his people out in the world. You'll find it here. If God is leading you to join this good church, we invite you to come today. It may be that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have that eternal security that I spoke of a moment ago. You need to make him your Lord and Savior. I'll help you with that if you want to come and share with me as we sing in a moment. If you feel led just to come and to pray, maybe where you are and you know someone's going through a tragedy, someone's going through a hard time right now, you may just want to go over to them and put your hand on their shoulder. Maybe pray with them. Please know you have the freedom to do that. This is a time of ministry. It's a time of invitation. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as we sing.